Thomas. Doubting Thomas, as we so often call him. And if ever there were a person, I think, who could so easily seem like they had travelled back into Bible times from our day, then Thomas would have to be a very strong candidate. Dead men don't rise from the dead. Dead men don't walk and talk. Dead men stay dead. Unless I see, unless I feel, I will not believe. Friends, the story of Thomas is very much a story for our day and age, an age of science, an age supposedly of reason, an age of being able to verify things for yourself, not have to rely on other people. Thomas, a modern man and a reluctant believer. Why was that? Why was Thomas so prone to doubt? Why was he especially prone to doubt? Was he especially prone to doubt? Well, in verse 24 we read, "Now Thomas, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came." Elder John just read those events of Easter Sunday earlier on in our service. And Jesus appeared to Mary Magdalene, and she thought he was the gardener. And then her eyes were opened, and she saw him as Jesus, as the risen Lord. And she ran to tell the disciples, I have seen the Lord." And the evening of that very first Easter Sunday, the disciples saw Jesus for themselves. There they were, hiding away behind a locked door, and all of a sudden, Jesus was among them. And he blessed them with peace, and he showed them his hands. They saw his wounds. They saw the wounds of Good Friday, and they were overjoyed. This was Jesus. Now from verse 24, we discover that when the disciples had that original Easter Sunday encounter with Jesus, Thomas was missing. For whatever reason, we don't need to speculate about what that might have been, but for whatever reason, Thomas wasn't there when Jesus had done that. Everybody else, all of the other disciples had had the opportunity to see Jesus. They had proof, everyone, except for Thomas. All Thomas had heard and seen so far was a group of very excited friends. They were overexcited, all so eager. And they told him that they had seen Jesus, but obviously it wasn't very persuasive to Thomas. "If I'm going to believe," Thomas says, "I'm going to have to see it for myself, just like you have. Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my fingers where the nails were and put my hands into his side, I will not believe it." And now, between that first Bible reading we had and the reading I've just given from the end of John 20, a whole week has passed. And again, the disciples are meeting together on a Sunday. But this time, Thomas is with the others. It's been a long week. 7 whole days have passed since the first appearance of Jesus to the disciples. And you can imagine, can't you, how Thomas and the other disciples might have been feeling. For Thomas, a whole week has gone by without any answer to his challenge. "Unless I see the nail marks and put my hands in his side." A whole week has gone past without any evidence. His challenge has been met with silence. And yet, do you notice, Thomas is still here. He's still with the rest of the disciples. He has doubts, but he's still there. For the other disciples as well, perhaps this has been a challenging week, a hard week. "Did we really see Jesus? After all, it's been a whole week and we haven't seen him since. How can we persuade Thomas? How can we persuade Thomas? Why isn't Jesus appearing to him just like he appeared to all of the rest of us?" Then the same thing happens, just as it had the week before. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." The locked doors are mentioned for at least two reasons, I believe. They serve to show that Jesus appearing to them was miraculous. The risen Lord is Lord of all. God in the flesh, God with all power. Nothing can bar his way, whether the gravestone or a mere wooden door. But it shows as well that the other disciples, although having seen Jesus a week earlier, although having responded with joy as they did, their joy is still mixed with another emotion. Their joy is still mixed with fear, isn't it? The Jewish authorities knocked off Jesus. If they put him to death, then there is still danger in the air for them. The Holy Spirit has not yet come, the Spirit of boldness and of power. Their faith in the risen Lord, though true, is still weak. That's why the doors are still locked a week on. To the weak, to the fearful, to the uncertain, Jesus comes and extends peace. Peace be with you. Shalom, the Hebrew word for peace. More than peace, unqualified well-being and human flourishing. Shalom on Easter Sunday and on every Sunday since is the natural pair of those words on Good Friday. It is finished. The work of the cross is finished, and now there is peace. Peace with God. Reconciliation. And Thomas too, despite his earlier uncertainties, he receives the peace of Jesus as well. For Jesus now speaks directly to him. Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand. Put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. Thomas, I'm here. I've always been here. Although you haven't seen me this past week, I've heard your every thought and your every word. I heard the words you said when you thought you were only speaking to the other disciples. And now here's the proof you asked for. See the nail marks. Put your fingers in them. Feel the wound from the spear in my side. Let your doubt cease. Let belief begin. Whether or not Thomas took up that offer, we don't actually know, do we, from the text? It would seem that the sight of Jesus and his words were enough for Thomas. And Thomas utters his confession of reverence and awe. He's a reluctant believer no longer. My Lord and my God. Doubting no longer, he doesn't merely acknowledge that Jesus is alive again. No, Thomas sees Jesus clearly. Perhaps he sees him clearly for the very first time as to who he is. And he pledges to follow Jesus. My Lord, my Master, the one I will follow. He worships Jesus as God in the flesh, my Lord and my God. Brothers and sisters, on the morning of this Resurrection Sunday, the journey that Thomas took is the journey that the Lord would have each of us take as well. And yes, I know the particular details will be different for each and every one of us. We may come here this morning with lesser doubts or greater doubts. It may seem that we may come here this morning and it may seem like we have always been believing. At least in part. But whatever journey, whatever route our journey is taken, the goal is the same, that we might acknowledge Jesus as our Lord and our God. See, Jesus goes on to speak of us in his conversation with Thomas. His conversation wasn't just meant for Thomas. These words were recorded for us. Because Jesus goes on to say to Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. What Jesus is saying is that we are blessed this morning. We who believe on the testimony of others are blessed. We sang on Good Friday, were you there when they crucified my Lord? And truth be known, we say, well, in one sense, yes, we weren't there. No, we weren't there. We weren't there as Mary Magdalene was when she saw the gardener and supposed that he might have known where they'd taken Jesus. We weren't there on the road to Emmaus as the two disciples walked along and Jesus appeared to them. We weren't in the locked room on Easter Sunday or the week later when Jesus appeared to Thomas. We weren't among the more than 500 people to whom Jesus appeared publicly at one time before he ascended into heaven. We weren't there. We have not seen. And yet we have the testimony of those who did see. For that is why the Gospels were written. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John. That's why they were written. And John tells us the reason why. We don't have to just suppose what it is. John writes for us the reason. He says, Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. The Gospels don't have everything that Jesus did or said. He did many, many other things beside those. But these ones are written. Why? That you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. You see, friends, God included the story of Thomas in the Bible to help people like us. To help people like us who sometimes struggle with doubt or with questions or with uncertainty or indecision. People who at times wonder if it is all true. Thomas's story is there for us. The story of a reluctant believer. Someone who wasn't going to believe just anyway. He wanted evidence. Jesus gave him that evidence that he sought in it, and his turnaround itself serves as evidence and an encouragement and an assurance for us in our doubts. Jesus has also given us more. As well as giving us this account of the reluctant believer who came to believe, as well as showing us how he came to believe through what he saw, what he felt, what he touched, what he heard, Jesus has given us something more. He's given us bread and he's given us wine. As he does so every time we celebrate the Lord's Supper, as we will next Sunday morning, he gives us bread representing his body so that we can see it broken. We can feel it with our fingers. We can taste it as we put it to our lips. Jesus gives us wine representing his shed blood, which we can now see with our eyes. We can smell with our noses. We can taste with our taste buds. Jesus gives us these things. He gives us bread and wine that we can touch and feel and hold and taste as visible signs that the sacrifice that we remembered on Good Friday is for us. That, as John says, that by believing you may have life in his name. And so, brothers and sisters, with the joy of knowing that Jesus is risen, with the confidence in his having successfully accomplished all he set out to do on Good Friday, be strengthened in your faith today. Be reassured afresh in what you believe. Take heart in the evidence of Thomas. Come and find life in Jesus through faith, through simple faith. And spread the word. Because Jesus is alive. Bear witness to him. Pluck up your courage. Don't remain in the fear that the disciples were on that day with a locked door. Because the Holy Spirit has come and he has filled his church and turned her into a church that is a bold witness. Jesus is alive and the world must know. For if we had not received the testimony of others, whether that was the testimony of a friend, the testimony of a parent, the testimony of a family member, the testimony of someone random in our lives. If we had not heard that witness that Jesus is alive, then we would still be in the dark. just as we have received that testimony, so we must bring that testimony to others, that they too, by believing, may come to have life in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray.